Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Gwyneth Hoyle. Each week, we visit with a local author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask them to introduce us to their work. We hope for a glimpse into their lives and find out what prompts them to write. Give them an opportunity to read to us from their work. So we're delighted to have as our guest this week, Gwyneth Hoyle. Welcome, Gwyneth.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Gwyneth Hoyle graduated from university with a degree in maths and science, and her first job was in Chalk River as a human computer, just like the women recently celebrated in the movie Hidden Figures. For many years, Gwyneth was the librarian at Peter Robinson College, Trent University, and played viola for the Peterborough Symphony Orchestra. But she has also had a lifelong interest in the Arctic and canoeing, and has written extensively about these. Now retired, she continues to research and write about northern subjects. In addition to articles on canoeing and the historic fur trade, she's written three books: Canoeing North into the Unknown, Flowers in the Snow, and The Northern Horizons of Guy Blanchet. So, you started out as a scientist and became a historian. I find that an interesting turn in your career. So tell us how you came to leave computing behind and take up writing.
Well, I left computing behind when my first child was born.
Ah.
And then we moved from Chalk River down to Peterborough.
Mm-hmm.
So I just lived as a stay-at-home mother.
And then you needed something to do? So you.
Well, then I guess I was hired at Trent in the library at Peter Robinson.
Mm-hmm. So how did your first book come about, though?
Well, this is a story that might surprise you.
Yes?
It started with a canoe trip in Algonquin Park.
Uh-huh.
My 15-year-old son had been at boys camp for 3 or 4 years, and he was at loose ends one summer. So he said, how about I take you and his younger brother on a week-long canoe trip in Algonquin Park? And I said, fine. I hadn't really canoed before, and I hadn't camped before, but why not?
Yes, why not?
So off we went. And my husband dropped us in on a Saturday morning at Canoe Lake, and he said, I'll see you in a week.
And were you nervous?
Not really, and I loved it. I couldn't believe how much I loved it. So when I came home, I began reading about other people's canoe trips and adventures and all of that kind of thing. And at the same time, while I was working at the library at Trent, there was a professor in Canadian history, Bruce Hodgins, who had a youth camp up in Temagami, which ran adult trips. So I began to go on his trips in the summer in Temagami, and eventually went on one in the Northwest Territories across on the Thelon River, which we went in at Yellowknife, and then we came out at Baker Lake.
Goodness.
And we saw herds of muskox, and we saw wolves and bear tracks and the odd caribou. And I was hooked on the north. And I thought how wonderful it was to just look out at those barren lands and the limitless horizon. Then the next thing that happened was Bruce was editing a book of essays about northern things. And he asked me to write the piece on, he knew that I read a lot about adventure travel. And he asked me to write about the women who went north on their own in the early part of the 20th century and the 19th century. So I worked at that, and I found about 7 or 8 women who filled that category. And when the book came out, I was astonished to see my name in print. That was the first time. Then the next project that Bruce had in mind was Canoeing North into the Unknown, which was a record of people who traveled for recreational reasons on northern rivers up until about the year 1975. Well, this was a huge amount of work, looking for all those canoeists all over North America and people who'd done incredible trips. And there was no email when I was working on that, so it was all by letter. And anyway, it could have been a really dreary-looking book. But the publisher we found had a wonderful book designer, and as you can see, it's come out as a really quite an attractive volume.
Mm-hmm.
The first printing sold out, and the next small printing, I think, sold out. So it's really practically out of print now, and a rare book.
Yes.
Having worked, and that was really, really hard work, getting all that material together. And in the meantime, with my northern reading, I had seen a small reference to a woman that had not gone into my first article. And I found her book, and I thought, oh, my goodness, she was more adventurous than any of them. So I thought I'd better make amends. So I decided to write a book about her. And
so
that's how it happened.
Was,
this is Isabel Hutchinson.
Isabel Hutchinson.
Yes.
And so what was the book you read, though? I mean, she wrote quite a lot of autobiographical stuff.
She wrote three books on her travel adventures.
Uh-huh.
One on Greenland's shores, north to the Rime-Ring Sun, and the other one was to the end of the Aleutians.
So was it just because she was such an adventurous person that she grabbed your attention? Or was it something else that about her?
No, she was... Her travels are quite astonishing.
Yeah?
They're done almost without travel planning, and they just seem to happen. And she did things that many, many people would have had no idea of doing.
Yes. Well, are you going to read from Flowers on the Snow, which is the book you wrote about her, or do you want to start with another book?
No, I'll do that one. This is the introduction I wrote to Flowers in the Snow.
So this is where you describe Isabel for yourself, right?
Yeah. On the tundra, above the bleak Arctic coast of Alaska, a woman knelt to admire a solitary yellow poppy thrusting up through the snow, its color of distilled sunshine filling her with optimism. Like the flower still blooming in October, she had come late and alone to Arctic travel. Protecting the delicate bloom was a thin sheath of ice, like the cool, polished, ladylike exterior that shielded the private nature of an artist and a poet. As she watched the poppy blowing in the wind on its slender stem, and yet firmly rooted, she recalled how she had been buffeted by the conflicting advice of everyone she had met on her travels, and yet held fast to her original purpose. The Arctic poppy, with its contradictions of delicacy and toughness, is a fitting symbol for the woman who found it. The woman is Isabel Hutchinson, and the book in which she tells of finding the poppy is North to the Rime-Ringed Sun. Though the book is written without hyperbole and acknowledges few difficulties, the adventure she recounts is one of breathtaking boldness. This self-effacing modesty has helped to make her name less recognized than most in the select company of adventurous women traveling in the early years of the 20th century. Growing up in Scotland, she early discovered the freedom to be found in long, solitary walks. In her middle 30s, in 1924, she walked the length of the Outer Hebrides. In the following year, she made a solo trek across Iceland, after being told by the local people that it could not be done. Looking ever northward, Greenland seemed the next logical step. Isabel was something of a Renaissance woman. Her achievements were many and various. In addition to producing books of travel, poetry, lectures, journalism, and paintings, She collected thousands of specimens of Arctic plants, which are now held in several British herbaria, and continue to add to plant knowledge throughout the world. Her collection of artifacts from Greenland and Alaska were made at a crucial time before authentic items were being replaced by native handiwork done for the tourist trade. And they're treasured both at Cambridge University and at the Royal Scottish Museum in Edinburgh. For her achievements, Isabel Hutchison received many awards, including the Mungo Park Medal of the Royal Scottish Geographical Society and the Freedom Medal from Denmark. In addition to the one she considered the pinnacle of her career, the Honorary Doctorate of Laws from University of St. Andrews. The story of her life is the record of an accomplished amateur whose unfailing courtesy and good humor, wide interests, and fearlessness carried her across the top of the world, developing friendships at each stop along the way. The extraordinary life of Isabel Hutchison is a testament to what can be achieved by an ordinary person who has the courage to be herself and the determination to pursue her dreams to the end of the earth.
Oh, that's a lovely description. That makes her so engaging.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We've been talking to Gwyneth Hoyle, author of Flowers in the Snow, and now we'll take a short break.